You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's Word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
But when you think of mission, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Think about that. I mean, if you've been in church for some time and the pastor or the service leader mentions the word mission, what's the first thing that comes to mind? You may think of overseas trips, short trips, long trips. You may think of the YWAMers, they're on missions. You may think of a challenge, that there's a challenge that God has placed before you. You may think of kids in Africa. You may think of providing medical aid or church planting. And that's all correct. But I want to challenge us over the next 6 weeks to see mission from the lens of God and how God calls every one of us to be a mission. That His mission is also our mission. A theologian, Emil Brunner, once said this: the church exists by mission, just as a fire exists by burning. How do you know that there's a fire? Well, it's burning. Where there is no mission, there is no church. And where there is neither church nor mission, there is no faith. The church exists because she is on mission. And if we are not on mission, then what are we doing? That's the big question right here. And this morning I want to talk about why mission is so important to this church here. Why is it so important to me as a senior pastor? And I really pray and hope that you would really understand that, and that as we leave this morning service, you can say, yeah, we're on mission. Some months ago, I heard through someone who said to me, I like going to church, but to think that I'm on mission, that's not for me. I like just coming here on Sunday, singing a few songs, giving some money, serving every now and then, but when it comes to mission, that's not for me. And it broke my heart when I heard that. When someone can say that, well, I'm part of a church, I will go to a connect group, I'll come along on Sunday, I'll give some money, I'll serve, but when it comes to mission, I move myself from that. And that breaks my heart, because what I want you to see over the next 6 weeks is that if you are a follower of Christ, the day that He saved you is the day that He sent you to be a mission. That you're a mission. Three important things that I want to talk about in regards to why it's so important. Number one, mission is the heart of God. It's the heartbeat of God. God exists to be a mission. Number two, mission is a channel for blessing. That because we are called to bless people, mission allows us to bless people. And number three, mission moves the believer, you and I, followers, into faith. Three things I want to talk about based on the text. So let me pray and we'll get straight to work. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound and bring your word to your people. I pray, God, that they will hear you through me. I pray, God, that we will study your word and walk away from this place knowing what it means to be a mission and to have a passion to be a mission. Help me, give me strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's the heart of God. Now that's a very bold statement. That I would say that mission is the heart of God. Mission comes from the Latin word misio. And misio means to be sent or to be discharged. Like a soldier is discharged. The army is sent to go and fight, to be in battle. That's what it means to be on mission. That someone has been sent. And if you've been a Christian for some time, or if you've been going to church for some time, you can see, and you should be able to pick up, that there's this theme that happens throughout the Bible. From beginning to end, there's this reoccurring theme of a God who sends. For example, come to church long enough, you will hear that there's a God in heaven, God the Father. He sends God the Son. He sends God the Son into the earth to be on mission to seek and save the lost. You see that. You read through the Bible in the Old Testament, you see that there's a God who sends prophets. He sends prophets to come and really remind God's people to repent, to turn back to God. Prophets like Hosea or Jonah, Isaiah, they're on mission. And of course, we move into the New Testament and we see Jesus. He sends his disciple. He tells his disciple, you are to go. Come follow me and I'll show you how to make fisher of men. And then I'm going to send you to be on mission. And we know that as we read through the Bible, when Jesus leaves and he goes to heaven, he sends his Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, God in us, to comfort us, to teach us, to correct us, to remind us that we belong to him. Holy Spirit is on mission. We read through the New Testament and we see the great Apostle Paul, this great church planter. And what does he do? He sends people like Timothy and Titus to church plant to be on mission. And we see this theme throughout the whole Bible that God somehow, he is on mission and he sends people like you and I to also be on mission, and that we are part of his mission. This is a God who likes to send. He's a sending God. In his heart, he has a mission. And he sends people to be on mission. And I want to pick up from the very, very beginning in Genesis chapter 12 of the time when he sent Abraham to be on mission. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. It's in your app or on the screen behind me. And I'll take it from verses 1 to 4. Let me read the word of God. The Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, go, right? Go from your country. In other words, leave your country. Leave your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4. So Abram went, or he left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot, that's his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Haran is where he's from. This is the first time God would call Abram to be on mission. If you flick through a few chapters to the right to chapter 22 of Genesis, go there with me. Genesis 22, verse 18. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Now, you notice in the text that it is the singular. Through your offspring, through your seed, one offspring, not many, not offsprings, not seeds. So right there at the very beginning, God had this desire to bless the entire world through one seed. Now, if you go to the very back of the Bible, there's the wonderful Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he's writing a letter to the church in Galatia. And in Galatians 3:16, this is what he says right here. Galatians 3:16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Can you see that? At the very, very beginning, God spoke to Abraham and says that you're on mission, and through your seed, one offspring, one seed, blessing will be for everyone. And that seed is Jesus Christ. That God at the very beginning, in his plan, in his wisdom, knew that the way to bless humanity is through his Son. The heart of God is to draw everyone back to him. To reconcile, to redeem everyone back to him through Jesus. And at this point, you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why would God do that? Why would God draw people back to him? Were they lost? Did they drift away? Were they scattered? Well, we need to read the Bible. Well, back in Genesis 12, the chapter before that is Genesis 11. If you remember in Genesis 11, this is when the people of God thought that they want to make a name for themselves. So if you go with me to Genesis 11, so there's a bit of Bible to there today. Go with me to Genesis 11. Look in verses 4. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Wow. Remember the story? The people spoke one language. They thought they'll build a tower big enough, tall enough to reach to God, knock on heaven's door and say, "Hey God, we're here, we've arrived. Look how good we are." This is in Genesis chapter 11. And of course, God brought confusion. They spoke the one language. God began to bring confusion and chaos. And then now they're speaking different languages and they scatter. Look in verse 9. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Just one chapter before 12, the people of God thought they'll make a name for themselves, build this huge tower to reach heaven, say, "Hey God, we're here, we've arrived, look how good we are." God scatters them. Okay, let's go back to chapter 6 of Genesis. A few more pages there, chapter 6 of Genesis. This is the flood. This is when the earth is wicked. Look in verses 11 to 13. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how the corrupt earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their way. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them." So now in Genesis chapter 6, the entire earth, corruption, violence, chaos. God says, "I want to start over again with Noah." Okay, it's not looking good now. Let's go again to Genesis chapter 3. A few pages to your left. And here is the fall of man. This is when God said to Noah, God said to Adam and Eve, "You may eat from all the plants in the garden except that one." There's one particular plant, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat there. Eat all the pineapples and all the durians and all the lychees, whatever you want. Go for it, but not the one there. And of course, we know in chapter 3, they took it. You see, you read the Bible, and whether it's the fall or the flood or the Tower of Babel, you notice something, that inside the human heart, it's all about us. We want to be gods. We want to make our own decisions. We want to make a name for ourselves. We want to call the shots. We don't want God. God, I know that you told me not to eat from the tree. I will eat from the tree. You move on to chapters 4 and 5. There's meant to be peace, but now there's violence and chaos. You move through to chapter 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Now the ego starts to grow and they want to build a tower to God. So God scatters them. I tell you right now, God should keep us scattered. God should not draw us back to Him. But as you read through the Bible, you see that God doesn't work like that. In His heart, He has a desire to draw people back to Himself. He's on mission to gather all nations to Him, to reconcile and to redeem all people back to Him. That's why as you read through the Bible, you go to the prophets and you begin to see God's heart. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. "I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them." It's wonderful. God goes, "You're so wicked, you're so evil, and I'm scattering you. I don't want anything to do with you." But God's heart is that He loves us so much that He's on mission to draw us all back to Him. And He says, "You know what? I have turned my anger away from them." You read through the New Testament and you see in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send," that's the word, mission, "send His Son into the world to condemn or judge or punish the world, but to what? Save the world through His Son." That's the mission of God. "I am here to draw people, to save people, to bring them back to me through the offspring, my seed, my Son, Jesus Christ." You read through the epistles in Paul's writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's His mission. The heart of God is to draw people, to reconcile, to redeem people for Himself. That's God's heart. And if we are God's people, if you and I are followers of Jesus, if we are God's people, if He is Father and we are His sons and daughters, surely we must also capture His heart. Isn't it true? that whatever the Father values, we also, as his children, we must also value. Isn't it true? That's what God wants. I know that is a fact in my household. I've got three beautiful children, and I want my sons, because they're at the age now where I really want them to grow up to love the Lord. And for those who are parents, you can relate to me. We want our children to value what we value. We want them to love what we love and hate what we hate. Is that right? So you hear in my household a lot, I would say things to my boys, hey, we don't do that in this family. We don't do that. Or we don't behave like that in this family. I say to them, hey, Dad's not like that. I hope you're not like that. Hey, you don't put your foot on the table. We don't do that in our household, you know? And I say, hey, boys, you know, you're Vietnamese. You don't wear your shoes inside the house. You leave it outside. You know, there's certain things, right, we want our children to value because we want them to be like us. All right? And we see that in God. And God says, well, if I'm your Father in heaven, if in my heart I'm on mission to draw people, to reconcile scattered people back to me, surely if I'm your Father and you're my children, the things that I love, you must love as well. The thing that I value, you must value as well. The things that I hate, you must hate. And I see that in Scripture. And I see God saying, because I love people and my mission is to draw people back to me through Jesus Christ, all my children, every single one of them, they must value what I value. And you do notice that. You do notice that when you begin to follow Jesus, over time, he does change you. And we call that sanctification or spiritual formation. We begin to go, wow, I do love the things God loves. Oh, I do hate the things that I used to love. I now hate them now, but I love the things I used to hate. God changes us because God is conforming us to be more like him each day. And we call that sanctification. And if God loves mission, if God's desire is to draw and reconcile and redeem scattered people back to himself, surely you and I, who are children of God, we must have the same heart. That's why it must be important to us. If it's not important to us, then we've got to ask ourselves, are we really children of God? If it's not important to us, do we really understand the heart of our Father? Because when we do, as we see from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, God is a God who sends. God is a God who wants to draw people back to him. Surely, if that is our Father and we are his children, we ought to value what he values. Amen? And that's the first point there. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would do that in us all. That every time we are maybe at the bus stop, or every time we're in the lecture theater, or every time we're serving someone over the counter, we take time to say, God, can you remind me your heartbeat? Can you remind me your heart? And I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind us that God in heaven, God the Father, has a desire to draw all people back to him. And may that reality sink into the depths of our hearts, that we too have the desire to draw people back to him. Mission is important because it's God's heart. And it ought to be our heart as well. Here's the second thing here. Is that it is a channel for blessing. Look in Genesis 12 again, verses 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I mean, isn't that a great part to stop the sermon? Imagine I stopped the sermon right there. Wow, you know what? God wants to bless you, and God wants to make your name great, and God wants to bless your business. And God wants you to live for a long, long time. And God wants to make sure that you're the center of everything. And then the church revolves around you and your style and your music. All about you, you, you. I mean, it sounds great, eh? It sounds great to hear preaching that it's all about me. That God wants to bless me. God wants to make me great. God wants to bless my business. But let's read on in verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Oh, now wait a minute here. What is God saying right here? You are blessed so that you can bless others. This blessing that comes from God top down and works inside here must go inside out. that the Bible clearly says right here that you are only blessed so that you can bless others. Therefore, mission is the channel of blessing. And Jesus once says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, come on, tell me, who finds it such joy and satisfying to bless people unconditionally? Do you? Yeah. Like, when you just, for some reason, you just buy someone, shout someone a meal, lunch, dinner, out of the blue. You see a student in the church and you know that the student's really struggling, because all students struggle, right? I think so. Unless your dad is very well off. But most students struggle. And you, by the Spirit, you buy them a fuel voucher or a Coles voucher and you give it to them. Or maybe, you went shopping and you saw a gift and for some moment, God, Holy Spirit, began to put my face in that thought and you buy that gift for me. Or you decide to pick someone up at the airport. Whatever. No strings attached, but you begin to bless someone. There's a joy, right? There's this internal joy. There's this joy. It's satisfying. And it's so true that for some reason, when you bless people, when you give them of your time and your treasure and your talent, wow, there's this joy. Let me give you five reasons why it's always better to bless. The first one I've already mentioned. It's joy. Such joy. The second one is this. It increases your Christ-likeness. Do you know that? The more you bless people, it grows you to be more like Christ. Because we know that Christ came not to be served, but to serve. The more you give, the more you bless, it grows you to be more like Christ. Number three, it exhibits the love of God. Did you know that? When you bless people, when you spend time with people and you begin to do things for people, no strings attached, unconditional, wow, it exhibits this love of God, that they see the love of God through you. You know, it brings hope into the situation. Sometimes what I've noticed is this, right? Someone is praying for a need and they're seeking God for a need, and you, because the Spirit of God, one Spirit working in your situation and their situation, brings the two together and you begin to bless them and they've been praying for that need, it breathes hope into the situation. And fifthly, and there's many more, it demonstrates that you trust God. It says to the people that, you know what, I may not have the time, I may not have the gifting, I may not even have the money, but you know what, I'm going to do it anyway, because I want you to know that it's God working through me and in me, that I'm trusting God. That's the reason why it's so great to bless. And what we see here in Genesis 12, and what God is saying, is that I want to bless the entire nation through you, Abraham, through you. I will bless everyone through you. And I wonder whether we understand that. That we have been blessed by God. And God wants us to bless those around us. Do you know the greatest blessing is the seed, the offspring, Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing is for you to share what God has blessed you with, which is Jesus Christ. That is the greatest blessing. That for those who have been saved by the grace of God, that God has saved you, God has drawn you back to Him, and you have this grace that you've come to know Jesus, the greatest blessing is for you to share that to those around you. And mission is the channel of that blessing. If you and I are not on mission, we would never share that blessing of Jesus Christ to those around us. Because if all we do is come here and do our own thing here and really look after ourselves and not be on mission, then the blessing of Jesus Christ is only kept in the four walls of Sun Life Church. Do you understand that? You know, this church here, our church, is not a karaoke bar for the saints. You know that? Or the saved. It's not a huge karaoke bar where we come here and we sing for those who are saved. No, it's a hospital for the sinners and the sick. We've got a wonderful message. We've got a wonderful cure. We know the great healer. And unless we go on mission to share that, that blessing is kept here. But if we're willing to be on mission, it's now a channel of blessing. I was in Vietnam probably 5 years ago, up in the highlands of Vietnam, between Vietnam and China. And of course, I'm working with some Vietnamese pastors up there. And if you know Vietnam, in that part of Vietnam, they speak a different dialect. And my Vietnamese is not that good. Here I am trying to communicate to these local pastors, and it's very, very tough. We need an interpreter. I remember one afternoon when I'm there with the locals, just doing some work, and I brush my leg against this plant. Have no idea what it is. I brush my leg against this plant, and within probably 15, 20 minutes, it got really itchy, and within an hour, it had this really nasty rash. It was so aggressive. I was so scared to even call Tran, to tell Tran. I should have called Guy Hing, my specialist here. I didn't. And now I'm looking at my leg, and it's so aggressive, and I'm trying to communicate to these locals, and the pastors are not there because they're working elsewhere. And here I am trying to communicate to the local, and I'm just saying, you know, how long to go? Now, how long do I have on the face of the planet? How long to go? Am I seeing Jesus soon, right? I'm trying to communicate to them. True story. And they start laughing, and they walk away. And I'm like, excuse me, like, I'm going to lose a leg here. This is not looking good. And it's really aggressive. It's like, Guy, I have no idea what it is, man. It was really scary. It's like from the alien movies or something, all right? They go away, and they come back in 5-10 minutes' time, and they give me this ointment. And it's not in a jar. It's in like a little mortar pestle thing. And they just say to me, put on. And I'm reluctantly trying to put it on because it smells and looks pretty horrible. And I put it on, and nothing happens. It's still painful. It even looks worse now because of what I put on it. And then that night, it began to settle. And then the next day, it settled. And I'm like, wow, the next time I go to Vietnam, up in the highlands, and I take one of you guys with me, and you guys happen to brush your leg against that bush, I know the antidote. I know the cure. I know what to put in your leg. Now, would it be so nasty and evil of me to say, let them suffer for a few days? Let them suffer a few days. Let them lose a leg. That'd be so nasty of me. Is it loving of me to say, hey, you know what? I know the cure. I know what you ought to put on the leg. You may not like it. It may look really, really weird. You're not going to like it at first because it looks quite horrible. But trust me, in the next 24 hours, it's going to settle. It's going to be all right. Trust me. You may laugh at me. You may think that I'm crazy. But I will tell you, trust me. I've experienced this before. I've gone through this before. I've had this upon me before, and it worked. And I'm totally cured because of this ointment. Trust me. You know where I'm coming from, right? If you and I have received the greatest blessing in Jesus, the great healer, the one who is the answer to the problem of sin, that we have been healed, we have been cured by the grace of God, surely we want to share that with as many people as possible. Surely we want to say, you know what, I've got the solution to your problem. For some of you, you may not know that I've actually for the last probably couple months, I've picked up a second job. Not because I'm looking for money. I picked up a second job. It's a non-paid position, and I'm working around 10 hours a week, believe it or not, on top of Sun Life Church. I'm the chaplain of a waffle club down the road. Down the road, East Perth Royals. So if you follow me on Instagram, you see me at the training tracks with the boys. I'm at the game. I'm in the training room. I'm encouraging them. Why am I doing that? It's because I know these footy players need to find the healer, the savior. His name is Jesus Christ. I have been healed by him. I have been saved by him. I was living on the path of condemnation, heading towards hell. But he came into my world and he saved me. And he gave me life and he brought me hope. And I have that wonderful cure to the people there in the footy club. And I want you to see that unless you are on mission, that channel of blessing would never be passed to them. And it's just kept right here. And we just do the church thing, and we just sing a few songs, and we are part of a connect group, and we give, and we serve. And all it is we just become happy clappy, and we just live until the day he takes us home. But if you're willing to say, you know what? I will be on mission. I will go, and I will tell people of the gospel. Then you become that channel of blessing. Amen. Here's the last thing here, why it's so important to us here, is that it moves the believer into faith. It moves you and I into the realms of faith. Look in Genesis 12 again, in verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, I want you to go from your country. You see that? Go and leave your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I want you to go. Now look at verse 4. So Abram went, he left. He left, right? As the Lord had told him. He went with Lot. He was 75 years old, and he set out from Haran. Haran is where he was from. Can you see that? There's a blessing from God, and God says, I'm blessing you so that you will bless others, but it's only going to happen if you do what? Go. It's only going to happen if you leave Haran. If you leave the comfort of your household. And if you don't leave, if you don't go, you'll be blessed, but you will not be a blessing to others. It says it right there in the text. Abraham could have easily said, well, God, I don't want to leave Haran. I don't want to leave here. I don't want to leave the comfy of my father's house. I don't want to go. He could have said that. And I think of Jesus Christ. When the Father sent Jesus, Jesus could have said, well, God the Father, I don't want to leave heaven. I don't want to leave the comfy of heaven. I like it in the Father's house. I don't want to go. But they went. They went. And I'm not saying to you, listen carefully, Son of Life Church, I'm not saying to you that as of this afternoon, you sell your house and you buy a ticket to wherever and you go. I'm not saying that. No, no, no. Listen carefully. Don't take it out of context. The principle is this, obedience. Obedience. Will you obey? Will you go? Unless you're willing to go, you're not going to step out in faith. And when you're willing to be on mission, and when you're willing to say, well, this is very uncomfortable. I don't like this. But I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to leave anyway. You're actually stepping out in faith. And that's wonderful. And that's where God wants us to be. God does not want you, listen carefully. God does not want you and I to live in the realms of just doing Sunday mornings here in your Connect group. Then live the normal Australian lifestyle Monday to Saturday. God doesn't want that. God wants you and I to go. God wants you and I to step out in faith and do what it's required to share people of this great news. And for some of us, we might say, nah, new mission's not for me. I'm not called to be a mission. We're all called to be a mission. Nah, I'm just a worship guy, you know? I wear tight jeans and look good. That's all I do. No, you're a mission as well. No. I'm a new Christian. I'm a new Christian and I'm not ready yet and I need to know more about the Bible before I go. No, you can go. Wait a minute, Pastor Ben, you don't know. I'm 80 years old. I'm 70 years old. I've done my dash. I've done my time. Hey, look at verse 4 again. Abraham was what? 75 years old. Drop the mic. He was 75 years old. So when you, if you see people doing mission and you see people, I'll sidetrack. Found out yesterday a few ladies from our church went and baked some cakes at Ronald McDonald's house. Woohoo! Well done, ladies. Why aren't you baking cake in my house? I don't know, right? Come to my house and bake some cakes for me. But here's my point. If you see that and go, well, you know what? That's the youngies. That's not for me. I'm too old for that. Verse 4. He was 75 years old. He went. If you think that you've got a special spiritual gift and that becomes your excuse, Pastor Ben, you don't get it. I do prophecies. Is there any tongues? I'll interpret. That's all I do. No, sorry. You're on mission as well. We're all on mission. The scary thing is that the evil one will always give us an excuse to not go. He will say things like, you're not ready yet. This is your specialty and not mission. You're too old. You're too young. You're immature as a Christian. You have no time. You have no gifting. But you know what? If you go, you are going to move into the realms of faith. So as you begin to step out and you begin to do what God wants you to do, you're moving into faith. And that's where He wants you to be. And if you and I are constantly moving in the realms of faith, that's when we're going to grow. And that's when this church here will begin to do some really amazing things. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be costly. You will get rejected. You will be looked down upon. You will not be liked. But that's okay. If you're willing to go and step out, you're stepping into faith. Abraham left Haran. Jesus left heaven. And I'm saying, are you willing to go? And if you're willing to go, then what happens there is that blessing that God has blessed you, now there's a channel to bless others. And that's when this church here begins to do some really wonderful things here. If we're not careful, listen carefully, if we're not careful, in 2 years' time, when we reach 10, it's just all about us. Hey God, yippee, God, we've turned 10, yippee. Big deal. But if we're on mission in 2 years' time, we can say, God, look at all these new people who've now been blessed because they've received Jesus Christ. Wow. Now we've got multiple services. Wow. We know we've got a second service. Maybe we may have campuses and more people are now hearing the gospel. More people are being saved because we are willing to go as we step into the realms of faith. That's what we see right here. So I ask you right now, what is God saying to you through me this morning? Alpha is around the corner. You know that in 2 weeks' time, we're launching Alpha. Alpha is all about letting people hear the gospel message. I don't like to do this, but I'm going to pick on Bruce. I know, Bruce, you're pretty embarrassed right now, but I'm going to embarrass you anyway. Bruce has been coming for 1 month now, and Bruce works at a hostel. And Bruce wants to get some posters of Alpha and stick it around the hostel. Brother, I honor you for that. Why not? What is God saying to you through me this morning about Alpha? Is there someone that you say, well, Pastor Bin, I'm just too embarrassed. They might not be my friend. They may reject me. I'm just not feeling that I'm at the right place or the right time. You go. You go and you share and you go and you invite them and you get them to come and hear the gospel message. And that's faith. Maybe God is calling you right now to be someone on the table as a facilitator to facilitate the conversation. You go. You do it. How about Sunday? This Sunday here. If this place here is not a karaoke bar for the saved, but a hospital for the sick and the sinners, why don't you invite people to come? Why don't you invite people to come here every week to hear the gospel message? Wouldn't it be great if that day I do an altar call and I know that there are people in this building who have never heard the gospel message before? That the Holy Spirit would do something in their hearts. Wouldn't that be great? But if all we do is come here for ourselves as Christians and we know Jesus already, but we're not on mission, we're just coming here for ourselves, then you're just hearing the gospel message and I'm just confirming your faith, which is fine. That's fine. But is God inspiring you through me this morning to go and invite someone to come here on Sunday to hear the gospel message? But Pastor Bin, you don't get it. In my office or in my company, I can't do things like that. I get it. But ask God for wisdom. Ask Holy Spirit for wisdom so that you have the courage to invite people to come to hear the gospel message. Maybe after service. Maybe there's someone who's been coming and you've noticed them from afar that they're not connected and that they're new. Or maybe they are not even a follower of Jesus yet. And God is speaking to you through me that you're going to have the courage to go and invite them out for lunch. Or maybe you say, hey, let's catch up and do coffee during the week. Let's open the Bible together. Let's pray together. See, that's mission. That's being sent to achieve a task. You know, one of these days, God's going to allow us to have a second service. In fact, we will have a second service, most likely in 90 days, in 3 months' time. I want to create another space. I want to create another space so that we are uncomfortable as a community, so that we know that there is space for us to invite our friends. I'm hearing so many people send me past the bin. I want to come on Sunday, but I can't. Why? Because I'm working. Oh, really? What time do you finish? In the afternoon. Okay. Or I've got sports and my kids are playing sports and I can't come. Okay, I get it. Maybe one of these days we'll have a second service in the afternoon. And that means that for some of us, it's like, well, you know what? I've been comfortable in the first service. You know, my identity is just the Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Sun Life service. Maybe God is saying, no, go. You know, you own the second service. You go there and you reach those people in the second service and it's okay. Your family is still up here, but you know what? God is saying, leave the comfy of the 10 a.m. and go to the 5 p.m. I don't know. But I really believe that God is speaking to some of you this morning through me. Maybe for some of you, it's local mission. You're just doing the Christian life where you're living, you know, Monday to Saturday, going to church on Sunday, being part of a connect group, serving, giving, whatever it is. But deep down, God says to you, there's more to life than this. God wants you to maybe be an evangelist, maybe be a pastor, maybe be a church leader. Maybe God is speaking to you through me. Let's talk about that. Let's see how I can help you to go down that path. Or maybe for some of you, it's global mission. Global mission. God is saying, I want you to go to the ends of the earth, whether it's China, Yemen, wherever. Will you go? Will you go? I guarantee you, as you go, as you leave your father's house, as you leave your country, as you leave the comfy of your current setting, I guarantee you that you are stepping into the realms of faith, and God will bless you, and God will use that blessing to bless others. That you will be a channel to the blessing, because you have the greatest news, that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Why is mission so important? Because one, it is the heart of God. It's the heartbeat of God. God is a sending God. From beginning of end, cover to cover, God is sending His people. Number two, it is a channel for blessing. We have a blessing, a channel for blessing. We were at Mandaring Weir last week with my boys. I was teaching my boys about C.Y. O'Connor. If you know C.Y. O'Connor, he was a great inventor who allowed that water pipe to start from Perth to go all the way to Kalgoorlie. We get to be that channel, that water pipe that feeds blessing and water from this place to that place. And thirdly, it allows us to move in the realms of faith. When we go, we move in faith. And I pray that you would move with me. Next week, we celebrate our 8th birthday. We are so grateful for what God has done. But here's my sermon for next week. We are so grateful for what God has done, and our gratefulness must be responded by mission. That's next week. So God bless you. Yeah, let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that mission is your heart, your heartbeat. Thank you so much that you have called us all to be a mission. And I pray right now for every person here who've heard me preach, Lord, that you would do something in their hearts right now, that there is this desire, that this passion to see the lost saved, the lost found. So I pray for that, God. I pray, God, that the blessing that you have given to us through Jesus Christ, that we would be a channel for as many people as possible. That we are not just going to do church. We are going to be the church. A church on mission. A church to reach the lost. That, God, you bless this place over and over again. Thank you so much that you give us the opportunity to step out in faith. And I pray that people in this church here will move in the realms of faith more and more each day. That we are going to be uncomfortable for your glory. That we are willing to be a fool and be mocked and ridiculed for your glory. So God, thank you so much for your word. I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to speak to some of your people. As of this week, God, we will do what you've spoken to us. Whether it's to invite people to Alpha, whether it's to invite people to come to the service, whether it's to get people to have a catch-up during the week, whatever it may be, may we have the faith to go. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up? Why don't we respond to the preaching of God's word? Let's worship God. Our great God is here with us this morning. Let's worship God.